guys. Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to chop up some good game as we always do. I need you to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Today's show is brought to you by OxyWellness.com. To experience the natural benefits of what CBD can do for you and your health and your well-being, check out OxyWellness at OxyWellness.com. That's OxyWellness.com. You can also get involved in the distribution side of the game by going through their wholesaling program. So again, go to OxyWellness.com or follow them on Instagram at OxyWellness, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to have a deep discussion on tonight's broadcast. Family, I need you to share this broadcast because we're going to go deep tonight. I might take some calls, I may not, but I'm gonna chop it up with the family. We're going to talk some real talk tonight. Let me take a real quick commercial break while everybody's getting on in the room. As I take that commercial break, you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
It's tax time again, so let the experts at Clark Pro Taxes make filing your taxes easy for you. They can prepare your taxes in person or virtually in all 50 states. Just snap a picture of your documents and leave the rest to them. Let Clark Pro Taxes prepare your personal or your business taxes. So get in touch with them right now at www.clarkprotaxes.com. Their calendars are open right now and they're pre-booking for the new tax season. That's clarkprotaxes.com and follow them on Facebook at Clark Pro Taxes. What's going on, family? Are you a diabetic and you reside in Atlanta? Do you have unexpired test strips? Well, if you do, you can make fast cash right now. Call or text Latoya of Martha and Betty Medical Commodities at 504-478-7148. That's 504-478-7148, or email her at care@marthaandbetty.com. She helps place test strips to those who can't afford them. So check them out right now.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at OldGoonJuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. OldGoonJuice. the shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
You are now tuned in to the Godfather of the Game. Often imitated and always celebrated.
Stop sloganary. Sloganary kills people.
Hey, yo, check this out. It's
Tariq Nasheed on Tariq Radio.
Let's go. Let's go.
Be my goddamn stumble-o.
Oh, yeah. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Come on in, family. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We're going to do what we do and chop up great game, as we always do. Don't forget, guys, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have another package deal for the family. We're going to have a great package deal. I got some great items, some great promotional items, along with some of our other projects. So you guys stay tuned for that. Be ready, because when we announce the package deal, remember, these things go very quickly. The last one we did, everything sold out in 3 days. People were hitting us up 4 and 5 days later. It's like, hey, man, can you get the sale popping? We just don't have the products no more. We sold out of all of the products that we were putting in that package deal. So you gotta get in early. You gotta immediately take advantage of the game. And also, I have to thank everybody for getting stuff for our baby registry. As you know, me and my lady, we have a baby coming in a few weeks. The new baby girl is coming in a few weeks, ladies and gentlemen. Our new Foundation of Black American Princess is on her way here. And we got the baby registry below. Most of the stuff, people have got it and sent it. I appreciate the family. So much love and respect to the family. And we've gotten your cards and everything, man. I really appreciate that. The family loves the energy. We have a few more items you guys can gift if you would like to. The link right there to the Amazon baby registry is below. But again, much respect, Papi Okute, a little vuve to the family out there for showing love to our soon-to-be newborn gift, ladies and gentlemen. All right, but let's get into some game here. Let's get into some game. Now, as you know, how's my volume? Can you guys hear me pretty good? I want to make sure the volume is straight. I don't want to get into a zone here, and then we have people like, I can't hear nothing, man. My iPhone 2 is tripping, you know? So we good with the sound? I want to make sure everything is good, because I want to get in a zone here and really chop it up with the family about what's happening with this situation. Now, for those who don't know, in New York City yesterday, this happened yesterday in New York City. Yesterday, this was in Brooklyn, if I'm correct, family. Where my New York people? Let me be clear. This happened in Brooklyn, my New York people. Yesterday in New York City, there was a mass shooting, allegedly a mass shooting, at a subway in Brooklyn. 10 people were shot, 13 others were injured, okay? This happened in New York. And they said the suspect was a 5'5" black man. Several eyewitnesses, quote unquote, said that the suspect was a 5'5" black man. Well, it turns out that the suspect was actually a 6 foot tall black man. So it's very interesting that people were so off with the height. That's very strange. All right. But here's the thing, man, this shooting, it could be very legit. It could be, or it could be some funny business going on, because with this shooting, a lot of things are just not adding up, ladies and gentlemen. We got to put the tinfoil koofy on just a little bit. Oh yeah, we got to put the tinfoil koofy on just a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, because some things about this, it's just not adding up, and we got to touch on this. We got to share some stuff about this thing. Now, let's be clear. We know what the get down is in New York. In New York, they are strategically placing Negro puppets in certain political positions in order to justify the oncoming anti-black targeting that's going to sweep New York. They want to bring the stop and frisk type of terrorism to black people back to New York so badly, and they're setting it up now. They've been setting it up. We've been saying this. Let's just talk reality. They've been setting up a scenario so they can justify aggressive stop and frisk type targeting for black people in New York. See, we have to understand, they have to give value to white society. In order to give value to one group, you have to devalue another group. This is the carrot that they dangle to get people on board with white supremacy. So if you don't have harsh, systematic mistreatment of one group, what good is it being white? What good is it having a system of non-justice if it's not going to be used to abuse people? See, that's the great thing about whiteness and white supremacy. We white people, and I'm speaking as a white supremacist, we don't get treated like the niggers. So that's the thing that's going to help people maintain the system of white supremacy. I get certain privileges and benefits. If you notice, family, there's so many cases of rape and sexual abuse that these white men are doing that they are getting literal slaps on the wrist. There was a case today I retweeted. A white boy raped three women and they just let him off. They're letting white criminals off scot-free. The white people who ran up in the Capitol building, these people aren't even getting cited anymore. They're just letting these folks out. They're not even giving excuses as to why they're letting them out. This is the selling point of white supremacy: immunity from law, benefits and privileges that black folks cannot get. And you have to overly police and overly harm black people. There's a video that was just released. I'm not going to even show the video of a black immigrant, Congolese immigrant, out there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The race soldier jumped on top of him. He started running because the brother knew he was going to get offed. The race soldier jumped on his back and shot this man in the back of the head. Execution style. They've done nothing to the race soldier. And these non-FBA immigrants, where y'all at? Y'all need to make some noise. Y'all sit up here trying to laugh at us, calling us bullet bags and all of this stuff. Y'all thought it was funny pointing the finger at us, thinking, okay, I'm not like these niggas. I'm different. When once they hear my accent, they'll know I'm different from those niggas. You ain't different in that respect. Now, lineage-wise, yeah, but understand, we're still under the system of white supremacy. You see? But that type of thing, they have to do these blatant execution style murders in order to show the lack of value that black people have, in order to juxtapose that to the white value that white supremacists have. So we're going to New York. In New York, there was a big movement of defunding the police. The police lost a lot of money during the uprising a couple of years ago. A lot of people lost faith in the police and the NYPD. They've been doing these little janky operations that we've proven to be hoaxes. With a lot of these Asian hate crimes, we have proven that they are using some of the same quote unquote actors in several scenarios. That whole thing with Andrew Yang, when he was stopping this one guy from committing an anti-Asian hate crime, the same guy that was in the video or pictures with Andrew Yang, we saw he was in another scenario where he did an alleged anti-Asian hate crime. So these are operations. These are operations. Then that guy happened to be a Haitian dude, by the way. Oh, I see we got some anti-black races in the room. Hey, hello, how are you? Pull up a coat. Pull up a chair, rather, and take your coat off. So, family, we have to understand, in New York, you know, they got to get white people back on team white supremacy heavy out there. In order to do that, you have to justify harming black people in mass. And if you need to harm and target black people in mass, you need to create boogeyman scenarios. The black man and black people have to always be the boogeyman. And family, they're already starting it to a certain degree. I just saw a video in New York today, actually, where some black men out there in East Harlem just out there working out. And the racist just came out there trying to take away their workout equipment. Now, we filmed, I think, part of Hidden Colors 5 out there. One of my brothers was out there. He does, he teaches 52 blocks. He teaches a certain martial arts called 52 blocks out there in East Harlem at Marcus Garvey Park. So the race soldiers go out there harassing the black people. Let me show a video of that. See, this is where they want to go with this whole thing right here. And I'm not going to play too much of the audio. There's a lot of profanity in here. Hold on, let me play a little bit of it. I'll play a little bit of it. Hold on 1 second, but not too much. Hold on.
The cops are taking away all our workout equipment from Marcus Garvey Park in East Harlem. This is a safe haven for kids too. Come.
Okay. So yeah, as you see in the video, they explain that the race soldiers are out there taking people's equipment away. Look at all those cops out there. Notice when it's something to harm or harass innocent black people, notice how the police come out in mass. They're everywhere where there's an innocent black person, where innocent black people are out there doing constructive things. They're not harming anybody. Also, kids are out there. When I was out there filming, there were a lot of kids out there. And the brothers out there exercising with the kids, teaching the kids how to work out, keeping the kids safe, keeping these babies off the streets. And this is the reaction you get when you're out there doing the right thing. I've been out there to East Harlem, man, to that park. These brothers are out here helping kids. They're doing constructive things. These brothers are not doing anything to harm anybody. And look at the response that they get. See, this type of thing is something designed to satisfy the white supremacist mindset in the dominant society to see black people getting harassed indiscriminately. That satisfies the minds of white supremacists to keep them at ease, to keep them dumping money to the police. So I'm just setting up the scenario here of what they're trying to do in New York, starting in New York. They want to do this nationwide, but really starting in New York. They want to get back to that basic slave patrol thing where they just run up on any black person, throw the Constitution out the window. Because remember, stop and frisk, that was found unconstitutional. So they have to create these black boogeymen. And if you notice, all of those anti-Asian hate crimes, almost every single person was two things. Number one, mentally ill. Number two, immigrants. Every single one of them were immigrants. And as we know, out there in New York, there's a lot of mentally ill immigrants out there. And from what I learned in New York, what they do, a lot of times law enforcement would go to homeless shelters and other places and pay mentally ill people to stand in police lineups. And if they can pay people to stand in a lineup and people will go down and stand in a police lineup, what else could they pay people to do, ladies and gentlemen? What else could they pay mentally ill people to do? We got to look at this with the tinfoil kufi on for just a second, ladies and gentlemen. Now, going back to this shooting that happened at the subway. Now, the suspect was named Frank James. This is who they said the suspect was. Now, this Frank James person has several videos that they left up. They just started taking the videos down. Now, whenever there's a mass shooting and there's a suspect, especially if the suspect is white, notice how they'll scrub the internet of all of their stuff. They will scrub the internet of all of the people's stuff. You can't find anything on these people. You can't see what organizations they're clicked up with. They will scrub the internet. But they let this guy's social media, and his Twitter is still up, by the way. They just took his YouTube channel down because he was on there talking a lot of coon talk. He was talking a lot of stuff about white supremacists. He was talking about going after whites, but he was also talking about harming black people. He was talking about how black people needed to be eliminated. A lot of Sambo talk, so he was kind of all over the place. He was all over the place with it. And you know how when there's a black person, they can't just lone wolf him. They have to try to tie him into other people. They got to try to make it seem like other black people that were involved. So you know what some of these anti-black racists are trying to do? Do y'all know that these anti-black racists found a tweet of his where he retweeted a video of me? And then they tried to low-key imply that I might have something to do with it. A couple of these right-wingers, alt-righters. This is Andy Ngo. Ngo, however you pronounce his name. Andy's an Asian. He's a very anti-black Asian. His page is full of anti-black hatred. Now, Andy is putting this up talking about Frank James, the wanted person of interest in the Brooklyn subway mass shooting, has a Twitter account where he posted support for black nationalist group Nation of Islam. He also shared a video of Tariq Nasheed. And the video he shared was from damn near 10 years ago, and it was a video of me roasting somebody. It was a comedy video. So what are you trying to imply, Andy? It was a comedy video that he retweeted a decade ago. So what? What does that mean? What are you trying to say? A lot of people follow me. Obama followed me until I started clowning him. A lot of people followed me. A lot of politicians followed me. What are you trying to imply, Andy? Andy's trying to throw up a smokescreen because Andy is clicked in with all of these violent alt-right groups. There's been several shootings that's been clicked in with Andy. The shooters follow him on Twitter and his YouTube. Andy's known for having these white supremacist terrorist follow him. So I know he's not trying to play that game. Oh, let's not play that game at all, Mr. Andy. And some of the tethers are out here trying to, I'm not going to even give the tethers shine. There were some tethers on Twitter space trying to say that the shooter was FBA and part of the FBA group, knowing that, you know, there's no group called FBA. There's no organization. And does this guy look FBA to you, family? This guy doesn't look FBA in any sense of the word. This dude looks like he comes from an immigrant background, ladies and gentlemen. This guy looks like he comes from an immigrant background. And nobody knows about this guy's background, by the way. And that's another red flag. This guy is out here. Nobody knows anything about his background. Just kind of came out of nowhere. There was, I think the FBI was supposed to have been doing surveillance on this guy until 2019, and then they stopped. But again, we don't know what's going on with this guy. And the fact that there's no relatives, and I read some articles. They're talking about he had a sister somewhere. They don't say where she is, and another sister died, and then his mama died when he was five. So now you got these dead relatives. There's a lot of this stuff is very suspicious about this guy. Oh, he's been a loner all of his life. Something don't sound right. Something doesn't sound right. Because foundational black Americans, if you have a family member that's mentally ill, we're not letting them float around. You keep them somewhere. You keep them at Big Mama's house somewhere. You don't let mentally ill relatives float around nowhere. I'm getting second generation immigrant from this dude. But some very interesting things that we have to question going on with this guy and the scenario. We got to ask some questions. Now, this shooting happened on a very significant day. The shooting happened on April 12th. Now, April 12th is the anniversary of the Civil War starting. That's when the Confederates got busy That's the date of the Civil War. And as you know, in April, April is a month where there are a lot of white supremacist terror attacks. I warned people for years, always look out for white supremacist terrorist attacks. Now, a curveball would be very creative like this, having a black person take a fall on the sword for you. That would be an ingenious move. You want to carry out a terrorist attack, but you get some mentally ill black person to do it for you on a very significant date. You understand? Because now at this point, people expect white supremacists to do terrorist attacks in April. Every April, they do some kind of terrorist attack. Columbine happened in April. Oklahoma bombing happened in April. April is a very significant month for white supremacists. So now they get this random mentally ill black dude to carry out a so-called terrorist attack where nobody was actually killed. That's very interesting, right? This dude does a mass shooting, shoots 10 people. Nobody dies. That's very interesting. A lot of interesting things we have to ask questions about. How that happened? And now you get this old dude. They said he had on a construction vest. And they said he had on a green vest. And then the next day it was a yellow vest. Then they said he was 5'5". Now he's 6 feet. Very interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. This dude does a mass shooting, shoots all these people. Nobody dies. Wow, that's interesting. That is very interesting. You go out here and shoot 10 people and none of them die. Interesting. On April 12th, the anniversary of the Confederate. Now this guy, listen, he did this shooting at the subway in New York. Now family, where are my New York people? Now, this guy just casually goes in here, shoots 10 people, and casually walks off, and he's not apprehended, and they have to do a manhunt for this guy. It takes them a whole day to find some mentally ill, overweight, damn near senior citizen. He's not no criminal mastermind. Does this look like the face of some kind of criminal mastermind who would get away and evade police for 24 hours? This is not the face of a criminal mastermind, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. Come on. Yeah, he's all fat and overweight, limping around. And family, listen, in New York City, if you jump a turnstile in New York, the cops are mobbing on you. If you go to New York and you jump a turnstile, they dump on you. I've seen videos of people getting beat up for jumping the turnstile in the subway without paying. This guy does a whole shooting spree, casually limps out, and no cops to be found. And remember a couple of weeks ago in New York, they had a gazillion cops running around downtown New York because some cops got shot and they had a whole strange neo-Nazi looking police parade out there. The streets were just flooded with police, but none of them were in the damn subway. Really? This guy just casually walks away. Okay, come on now, I'm putting the tinfoil koofy on. It could happen, but then again, it might be some funny business going on. Not saying it did or not saying it didn't happen. Funny business is going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Another thing that's very convenient. The surveillance cameras, they said, in the subway were magically not working. Look at this stuff. Broken surveillance cameras hampered the hunt for Brooklyn subway shooter. So now they're trying to blame the fact that this guy just casually walked off. Well, it was the cameras were broken. The surveillance cameras were broken. Stop it. Okay, that's real convenient. That's just like how convenient it was when the the cameras weren't working when Epstein was in jail and they killed him. The cameras magically weren't working. Okay. So now the cameras are magically not working. So they're trying to justify why they couldn't get this old man who seemingly, allegedly did this shooting, who was a lone wolf. You're going to have to explain how this guy just walked off like that. It's hard to really justify how one person did all of this and he just casually walked off, just limped away. The cameras weren't working and he evaded police for 24 hours. But they got footage of him everywhere else except at the crime scene. I just saw video of him walking up and down the street, limping up and down the street. He got footage of him everywhere except the crime scene. And notice, they conveniently don't have footage of the actual shooting. See, this gives them a justification to not have footage of the actual shooting if it happened. You feel me? So now when people are questioning, did the shooting happen or not happen? Well, we'll never know because we don't have footage of it in a damn subway in New York City. You don't have anybody filming the shooting on their camera phones. Wow. Notice that's another thing. This is New York City. Everybody has a camera phone. You have the aftermath of the shooting, but you don't have actually nobody showing this guy doing any shooting with their camera phone, and people film everything. Isn't that kind of convenient? A lot of it is very convenient, family. I'm just raising questions. What's going on here? We have to ask questions here. I'm just asking questions. Another thing they said they knew who the suspect was because he left his credit cards at the crime scene, ladies and gentlemen. They said this guy left his credit cards and car keys at the crime scene in some U-Haul truck that he rented. They said he left his credit cards. How convenient. So this is how they knew who he was so quickly. He left his credit cards. Okay. Very convenient. Come on, man. This just doesn't sound right. Just listen to it and just talk about it real slow. It just don't sound right. This just doesn't sound right at all, ladies and gentlemen. So now, family, listen. So this guy does this shooting. He casually waddles away. And the next day, they catch him because he called in a tip on himself. This is what they said. They said he called a tip in on himself, ladies and gentlemen. And then they caught him just casually walking around. This is him just walking around Brooklyn like nothing happened. He's just walking around in front of a damn bodega. And they're trying to call some immigrant dude from the Middle East somewhere a hero for turning him in. You're not a hero. The dude basically turned himself in. So this guy just walked around casually like nothing happened. Looked like he don't even know what he did or what's going on. So this guy's just casually walking around in broad daylight after he just allegedly shot a bunch of people who didn't die. They didn't have him on camera shooting these people. And he gets arrested and that's that. Nobody kills him. It wasn't a rough arrest. So they turn him in. I mean, he turns himself in or whatever. And they take him into custody and they charge him. And now they're going to use this and they're going to politicize this left and right. They're going to start coming up with so many justifications to target the black people there. again, you see they're already trying to latch this guy onto folks. They're trying to put my name in the mix and other people. It doesn't add up. But let's go even deeper. Let me show you some stuff that the mainstream media is not telling you. Now, this is supposed to be some homeless guy, but he's traveling all over the country. He was in Milwaukee at one point. Then he was in Pennsylvania. Then he went to New York. So this is a homeless guy going all over the place. What's his source of income? Where's his family? Are they in the Caribbean somewhere? Where's this guy's family? Who is this guy? Also, why is this guy showing up in random cities? For example, I want y'all to see something here. Now, this guy was in a city called Moon Township. He was in a city called Moon Township. Now, Moon Township, right here, video shows Brooklyn subway shooting suspect Frank James drove through Moon Township, and he did a video recording where he was in Moon Township. This is in Pennsylvania. Now, let me play some of the news footage of them talking about this in the local news down there in Moon Township. Hold on.
The city of New York.
Hold on.
Right now, police are combing through the suspect's social media posts as they look for a motive. Those posts have ties to this area. We've learned that he was in the Moon Township and Coriopolis area while on his way to New York.
Tonight, Chris Hoffman is live in Moon Township with a disturbing message he recorded while he was here. Chris.
Now, talking with Moon Township Police, they couldn't put an exact location on where he was, but do believe he was in the University Boulevard area. Now, the video he put on YouTube was about 25 minutes in length and has since been taken down as he had some solutions to societal problems. He said the solutions were death and destruction. The beginning of Frank James's almost 25-minute-long video starts with the Moon Township sign. His description of being near hotels, businesses, and his sheets seems to indicate he was on University Boulevard.
That's crazy, because I don't know.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I wanted to show y'all that. So, this guy was in Moon Township, Pennsylvania, okay? This guy was in Moon Township, Pennsylvania, okay? Now, listen to me. And he did a video while he was in Moon Township. He's just in Moon Township. In a random town. Moon Township, that's a very random place to be, right? Moon Township is a very random ass place to go. What are you doing in Moon Township? He's broadcasting in Moon Township. He's did a video out there talking about where he is in Moon Township. That's a very interesting place. It's a random place, right? Hold on, wait, y'all can't hear me. Wait. Let me get the sound. Uh-oh, my bad. I'm talking. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't have no sound. I'm sorry, guys. So listen. I'm good. I'm here, guys. No sound. I'm here. Okay, so this guy is in Moon Township. He was in Moon Township right before he committed these shootings, okay? No, I'm here, guys. I'm here. I had my audio muted. It's my bad. Okay, I'm here, guys. So listen. Now, Moon Township, let's get back to it. This guy was in Moon Township. He was in Moon Township, Pennsylvania. This is an extremely random place to be. Right before he went to New York to commit these crimes, allegedly, he was in Moon Township, Pennsylvania. Now, what's significant about Moon Township? Moon Township is known for a lot of secret military bases out there. There's a lot of military bases out there, a lot of these dark sites in Moon Township, Pennsylvania. Okay? Not only that, at these military bases, ladies and gentlemen, let me show y'all something. They have these military installations out there in Moon Township. Let me show y'all something. All right. Moon Township bulking up on military installations. This right here is an article from 2008. Now, Moon Township, ladies and gentlemen, at these military installations, do you know what they do in Moon Township at some of these military installations? They do mock reenactment simulations for disaster scenarios, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, look at this image here. This is a person engaging in a mock scenario for disaster. Let me read this to you. If you can, the writing is kind of small. Let me kind of pump it up a little bit. This is from 2008, Moon Township. PA1 Disaster Medical Assistant Team assesses the condition of a mock hurricane victim, Darren Bohr, a cadet at the Civil Air Patrol Squadron 603, a treatment center during the National Disaster Medical System training exercise at 911 Airlift Wing. The military already has a strong presence in Moon Township and could grow if plans for further expansions are approved. I'm sorry. So family, out there in Moon Township, they do these disaster scenarios, family. They get actors to practice these disaster drills. Oh, this is something this is what they do. Here's another article. This is from 2014. Moon's 9/11 Airlift Wing site hosts massive disaster exercise. Family, they do disaster exercises out there in Moon's Township. Family, ain't this a damn hell of a coincidence? This is what they do. They do these mock scenarios. If there's a disaster, they do run-throughs out here. They do run-throughs in Moon, Pennsylvania, Moon Township. This place is known for doing run-throughs for disasters. And this strange so-called shooter was there, strangely enough, nobody knows why, he just happens to be in this place right before he gets into these shootings where nobody was killed and nobody actually saw the shooting. You just got to put your tinfoil koofy on, family, for just a second here. Was this guy rehearsing? What was this guy doing out there? Again, these are strange coincidences, family. It could be real. I'm not saying it ain't real, but I'm not ignoring this right here. I'm not going to ignore the fact that there's some funny business going on here. It looks real strange. And you get this homeless, mentally ill person, you can do whatever to these people. When people start talking about NK Ultra and all that stuff is very real, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of that stuff is very real. That's not just a conspiracy theory. This is some real stuff here. But yeah, I'm not going to ignore the fact that he just happened to be in this town that's known for doing mock disaster drills and false flag scenarios and how to carry them out and how to move during disaster situations. A place is known for that. And this guy just happened to be in that town. That's a random town to go through, family. That's a very random place to be, to just go there. But again, family, it's okay. We have to ask questions. Don't ever be ashamed, or don't ever let nobody try to shame you if you want to ask questions as to what's going on out here. There's some real things happening out here. We need to be cognizant of all of it. And we need to make sure that we're not falling for the okie-doke. We need to make sure we ain't falling for the whammy-bammy out here. But again, this guy, I'm getting some second-gen immigrant vibes from this guy. This guy's giving immigrant energy, ladies and gentlemen. Because some of the videos, he was talking real greasy about black people. It was extra coonish and extra crazy. So I don't know what's going on with this guy. But we got to ask questions. And speaking of immigrants, I saw an article with Viola Davis. She was talking about colorism. She said she recalled that hearing that black actors thought she wasn't pretty enough for the show How to Get Away with Murder, she said something very interesting. When she was growing up, let me show y'all this article. Speaking of immigrants, let me show y'all this. And I'm not trying to beat up on immigrants, by the way. I know some of the non-FBA family is like, oh, damn. But no, I got to talk about this. This is Viola Davis. She did this article saying that she heard some black actors saying she wasn't pretty enough to get away with how to be on the show How to Get Away with Murder. And she's a phenomenal actress, man. This is such a phenomenal sister. But there's something in her article that was real interesting. When she was growing up, when she said she lived, she was in, hold on, in her memoir right here. In her memoir, Davis also draws on her childhood experiences with racism, detailing an anti-black, where is it? An anti-black attack in the third grade. One of many times she was chased home in Central Falls, Rhode Island by a group of around 8 or 9 boys who hurled insults, slurs, and threw stones and bricks at her. On this day, a group physically caught her, and while some of the boys pinned her arms back, the leader of the group from Cape Verdean and black like her, though he identified as Portuguese to differentiate himself from African Americans, according to the Times, call her both ugly and a black effing N-word. When young Davis responded, "You're black too," he punched her. Wow. Boy, that's that People of Color Coalition, and this is who we're supposed to share our reparations with, huh? We're supposed to share our reparations with these cats, huh? Man, have y'all seen some of the... There's a Nigerian message board, Nyraland or something like that. Boy, all they do is sit up and call us cicadas all day. If you go to some of those Nigerian message boards, they sit up just... We are cicadas all day, every day. And for some reason, I don't know what it is, they got a real bug in their ass about foundational Black American women. They really show extra vitriol to foundational Black American women. It is something about the coon class of the Nigerians. I don't know what it is about FBA women, but if you look at those message boards, they got a real bug in their ass about FBA women. Oh, Akata girl, this, oh, that Akata girl. I don't want no Akata girl. Kata beach eyes. Oh my God. They don't like us either, foundational Black American men, but they really have a bug in their ass about foundational Black American women. You're all types of Akata whores and baby mamas and all of that stuff when they got the highest rate of paternity fraud known to man over there. It's a lot of jealousy. Oh, it's a lot of jealousy. Really, a lot of that is seeped in jealousy. It's real heavy. A lot of that is seeped in jealousy. They don't like the attention that foundational Black American women get. That's really what it is. I think a lot of it has to. That's why when they always got a bug up their ass about Beyonce. Beyonce, she's not the queen of Africa. You know, when Beyonce tries to do some stuff paying homage to African culture, a lot of them have some, not all of them, but that Tether Sambo crowd, they got something slick to say about it. But family, it's some weirdo stuff going on. We got to watch these folks when they come among us. Speaking of that, and we got to look out for the white supremacists as well. We always got to keep eyes on the white supremacists. This was on Tucker Carlson's show, Tucker Carlson Today. He had this suspected white supremacist Penn law professor, Amy Wax, and they've been complaining about her at the university at Penn State. They've been complaining about her and her racism. I want y'all to hear what she said about Black Americans. I got to let y'all hear this. Listen to this. These people are so damn delusional, it's ridiculous. Listen to this. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Listen to this. Hold on. Let me get it right.
Seems like people coming in wrecking everything that was valuable in an institution that they never built themselves. It's very reckless and destructive. It's very vindictive. It's very angry.
Yeah. Where does that anger come from, do you think?
I think there is just a tremendous amount of resentment and shame of non-Western peoples against Western peoples for Western peoples' outsized achievements and contributions. I mean, it's really unbearable. I was actually, you know, leaving aside American blacks, who I think do feel that resentment and shame and envy. I mean, it's this unholy brew of...
It just seems like people coming in and wrecking everything that is valuable in an institution that they never...
Okay, hold on.
It's very reckless and destructive.
Hold on, wait, let me get my sound together.
It's very vindictive.
So, excuse me. So they said that we have envy and shame because of white, and white Western means white. Okay, whenever you hear them say Western, that's white. That's them thinking that they're trying to codify their white supremacist views. Okay, that means white. Western, black Americans, she said black Americans have shame and envy and contempt. And envy, that's the killing part. Of all of their outside contributions and achievements. Okay, what are white contributions? I want to know what these contributions are. We have a lot of suspected white supremacists in the chat room right now. Can you please talk about what your contributions are as white supremacists? As Western white supremacists, what the hell are your contributions that we're jealous of? That we're supposed to be envious of your contributions. I would love to hear what these contributions are. What have you done that we're jealous of? We're not jealous of injustice. The only thing you've contributed, white supremacists, is non-justice. Thievery and non-justice. Everything about white supremacist Western culture is all negative. It's all about stealing. What in the world are we supposed to be jealous of? I gotta hear this, and nobody can give an answer. They get out here and just say anything, man. The computer, man, it was black people. We look at the people coming up with the computer chips and all of this stuff and all the basics. It was black people doing that. If we're going to talk about computers, and let's talk about, hell, just electricity. We have to look at people like Lewis Latimer. Lewis Latimer was one of the first people to write a book on electricity and harnessing electricity for lighting. The first person to write a book on that was Lewis Latimer, a black man. And truth be told, I believe that Lewis Latimer actually invented the modern light bulb. They just don't give him credit. They give him halfway credit. They say that he partially invented it because he came up with the carbon filament. They try to give credit to Thomas Edison. As we know, Thomas Edison wasn't really an inventor. He just stole everybody's stuff. He said, y'all come work for my company, so whatever you invent under my roof, I'm taking credit for it. That was Thomas Edison's get down, man. That was his get down. I really believe that it was Lewis Latimer who created the light bulb on his damn own. You understand? We got to understand how this thing works. But yeah, what are your contributions, people? We got a lot of suspected white supremacists in the room now. What's your contributions? What did you contribute that we're so jealous of? I really want to hear this. My goodness, you stealing other people's stuff is not a contribution, which is what they did. Remember, during slavery, we were creating many of the most general basic household things that people use today. Even doorknobs. That was a foundational black American who created modern doorknobs. Look that up. We were creating all of this practical stuff, but when we were enslaved, we were not allowed to patent anything. So during that whole period of slavery, we couldn't patent any of our inventions. What the hell did they contribute? I really want to know. Even in the medical field, they were getting stuff from us. Some of the first healers were black people, root people, black medicine people. We were the first healers. They were getting a lot of the medical game from us. What's your damn contribution? I really want a serious answer to that. What is your contributions that y'all didn't get from somebody else and steal? Let's be very clear. See, these white supremacists get to talking crazy about what they did and we're supposed to be envious of them. And then the tethers start talking that crazy stuff too. That's another thing. These tethers get to talking crazy. You niggas are jealous of us because we wet hide. We get to hearing that. You niggas bumbaclot, you niggas should thank us for hip hop. Then they start talking crazy. Because, see, they want to be de facto white supremacist satellites themselves. You see? They start talking crazy. They out here trying to sound like white supremacists themselves. And they still try to, you know, a lot of them are salty now because we've been checking people on that hip-hop thing. A lot of the tethers are very, very salty lately because we have been checking them heavy about the whole hip-hop lie. We've been correcting that. Now they want to cry foul. Well, you niggas are divisive. No, we're correcting the lie. We're adamant about correcting the hip-hop started in Jamaica lie. We're clearing that up because now it's time for us to start gatekeeping everything that we created. See, we create so much stuff and people take it. They feel like they can just come around us and talk any kind of way. This is why I'm gatekeeping everything. Everything that we created, we're going to pump it up and let folks know it's an FBA creation. Like I said, hip hop, as we know it, let me go back and circle around again. That was a black, foundational black American creation. Nothing from hip hop came from Jamaica. Nothing. And y'all can sit here and talk about Kool Herc. No disrespect to Kool Herc. Much respect to Kool Herc, but Kool Herc did not create hip hop. All the elements of hip hop was already here, ladies and gentlemen. All the elements, or somebody in the chat room talking about, I think they're being sarcastic. I thought they were saying hip hop started in Jamaica. They put laughing emojis behind it. But yeah, like I said, with our brother Kool Herc, much respect, much love to Kool Herc, but Kool Herc did not start hip hop. The elements of hip hop was already here. We have people just say stuff and nobody really questions it. And because nobody questions it, it just goes on and on and on. Yeah, dance hall and reggae had nothing to do with no damn hip hop. Nothing. Like I said, Kool Herc couldn't play dance hall or reggae because foundational black Americans were not trying to hear it. And then they try to put the date of hip hop in 1973 when Kool Herc had a party on 1526 Sedgwick Avenue, but we have to question that. You see, that's people trying to kind of go back in history and recreate history. Let's look at that party that Kool Herc had in 1973. What did Kool Herc do at that party? The breaks did not come from no damn Jamaica. Somebody said the breaks came from Jamaica. That's a damn lie. The break beats did not come from Jamaica. And what did Kool Herc do at that party in 1973? All that commemorates is just the first party that Herc had. That was the first party that Kool Herc had, but there were other people having parties. Disco King Mario, all these people, they were having parties. What did Kool Herc do at that party in 73 that was hip hop? I don't think he was playing breakbeats at that party. What did Herc do at that party? Herc wasn't a mixer. Herc didn't mix, he didn't rap, he didn't scratch. Scratching wasn't a thing at the time, so and even when it was a thing, Herc wasn't known for scratching. He wasn't a producer. Come on, no. Somebody say reel it back. No, I'm gonna reel it all the way out there. Let's keep it a buck. What did Herc do at that party in 1973? No, no, no. Let's keep it real. What all Herc did was play James Brown records. He played funk records. And that was what Herc brought to the table. What Herc did was play obscure. And this is what made Herc's parties unique. Let's keep it a buck. What made Herc's parties unique was that he would play obscure funk records that were not being played on the radio. And in these obscure funk records, he saw that people were getting down on the break part, so he would just play the breaks over and over again. And that's what Herc brought to the table. Excuse me. Herc wasn't a mixer, wasn't a scratcher, wasn't a blender. Herc didn't even use headphones when he first started. So he wasn't even blending anything. He was playing obscure funk records. What made Herc's parties pop off is that Herc got these records. And also he went around parties and saw other DJs playing obscure funk records. And Herc would ask around, what's those records? So Herc would get those records and he would accumulate all of these funk records that were kind of obscure. And then what Herc would do was soak the labels off the damn records so nobody knew what they were. And if you wanted to hear the records again, you would have to come to his next party. That's what made Herc's thing pop off. Herc would soak the labels, wouldn't let nobody know what the records were. The records were hot. He dug in the crates, found these funky, obscure records, played them at his jams, and he was known to play these certain records that didn't nobody ever hear of. That was his claim to fame right here. All right? That was his thing. You had other people playing funk records like Mario. Mario, who was DJing before Herc, he was playing funk records too. Why are we not giving Mario the same type of credit? You understand? We got to look at it from a historic standpoint and get all the history right. Somebody said Pressure Hamilton. That sounds like a Jamaican influence. No, it's not a Jamaican influence. If you're playing funk records and you're just not telling people what the funk records are, how are you playing funk records from Foundation of Black Americans and that's Jamaican? The hell are you talking about? No, that ain't Jamaican, because other people were playing those same records. But Herc just focused on all of those obscure records that weren't being played on the radio. You understand? Let's be very clear. So you said you were there in 73 and Herc did wear headphones. Herc himself said he didn't wear headphones, okay? Herc said he didn't wear headphones. So let's look at history here. Yeah, all he was doing, he was accumulating a bunch of these obscure funk records nobody ever heard. He soaked the labels off so nobody would know what they were, and he would play them exclusively at his parties. And people would go to hear these funk records and they would dance and get down to these funk records. All right? So they ain't got nothing to do with no damn Jamaica. Let's stop that Jamaican lie. Stop it. When there were people over here already rapping. If that were the case, what's the Jamaican Rakim over there? Who's over there flowing like the Rakim and the Nas is over here? All right. But like I said, listen, Foundation of Black Americans, we're circling our wagons against the white supremacists, against the tethers, and we're calling a lot of stuff out and we're letting a lot of other groups hold their own nuts. A lot of janky stuff that we see going on, we're letting folks know, hey, that ain't us right here. There's another video I saw. I posted this on my social media. This is some other non-FBA nonsense going on. See, we got to call all of it up right here. This stuff right here. Now, this is a very strange video. I know the people. You can look at the foreheads and tell this is some non-FBA stuff going on over here. Look at the, hold on. Okay, hold on. I'm going to turn the music down so I don't get a copyright strike. Now, this person right here. Now, family, this person right here is on a leash. There's a big, husky white woman. And this person right here, now I don't know if this is a man or a woman. I can look at the forehead and tell this is not FBA. It's a little Hispanic boy with a cowboy hat on. I don't know what's going on, but this person is being walked like a dog here. I don't know. This looks, it almost has an Yvette Carnell vibe. It looks like a stud. I see other big forehead relatives in the back. Hold on. If you look in the background, there's some other big forehead relatives in the back. All right. These foreheads don't look FBA. I see some crunchy wigs in there that don't look FBA. I'm getting an East African vibe here. I don't know what's going on, but this person is being led on a dog leash. Yeah, this is not something that we do. I don't know what's going on here. This is, even the bride looks kind of masculine. I don't know what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not FBA behavior right here. This looks like a trans man, like a woman who turned into a man. I don't know what's going on here. All right. Real funny style stuff here. And I don't know, this person is marrying this person for a green card. I see a crunchy wigs in the back. The little Mexican boy, he's confused. He's like, please get up. I don't need the green card that badly. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we're calling all non-FBA behavior out. All non-FBA behavior, we're calling it out, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want no parts of it. Here's another video. Let me show y'all this. This is, they said this is coming out of South Africa. This is, the question is it fake or real? Some people in South Africa, they said it's South Africa. I don't know. But they said a mermaid washed up on shore in South Africa, ladies and gentlemen. This is a video that's circulating around. They said a mermaid washed up on shore. Hold on 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Okay, this is supposed to be a mermaid. All right. I got some questions here. All right. This is half person, half mermaid. And they said, is it real or fake? They said this is in Cape Town. All right. Now listen. I just want to know why the mermaid has on a synthetic wig. Why does the mermaid have on a divestment wig? All right. The mermaid has synthetic bundles. All right. I'm very confused about this mermaid. All right. I didn't know they had a Sally's Beauty Supply in the middle of the ocean. The mermaid went to the under the sea bumper curl. Why? The mermaid was last seen in Cynthia G's fish tank in the projects. How the mermaid had an Auburn sew-in that wasn't blending right. Come on. Good Lord. The mermaid's lace front would have washed off. I'm sorry. I didn't know that they had a lace front under the sea. I'm sorry. Okay. Poor mermaid. Okay. This mermaid need to go back in the ocean and get some edge control gel and get that divestment wig in order. Okay. Is it fake or is it real? I don't know. I need some more investigation. I'm going to have to do some scientific research on them synthetic Burbank bundle strands. Like those synthetic strands on the mermaid's head. I got to do some research on them strands and why it didn't blend in correctly. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. We had a great time chopping it up. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 through 5. Go to BuckBreakingMovie.com to get the movie Buck Breaking. Go to OfficialFBA.com to get the maroon t-shirts and an autographed copy of my book, Foundation of Black American Race, Beta. Also, guys, our baby registry, our gift registry is below. You guys can still get gifts for our FBA princess that's on her way. Y'all click the Amazon link below. And you guys have a great night. Papi Akute and Lola Vuve to the family.